because we're in the season of Lent. So we restrain our Alleluias until Easter. And so we go and sing the Gloria in Excelsis. So we finish with the Kyrie, and we go to the prayers of the church. Please rise as we begin singing our first hymn.
Almighty God,
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, renounce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead of by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. When he calls to me, I will answer him. With long life I will satisfy him.
And show him my salvation.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High
will abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress,
my God in whom I trust.
Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place,
the Most High who is my refuge,
no evil shall be allowed to befall you.
No plague come near your tent.
You will tread on the lion and the adder.
The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot.
When he calls to me, I will answer him.
I will rescue him and answer him.
With long life I will satisfy him.
And show him my salvation.
Sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We are on the fourth commandment. Honor your father and mother. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. The central thought here is that God gives parents a unique task that serves the well-being of all society. What makes parents unique among all other people in our lives? They ask that you read John 19, verses 25 through 27, and note how Jesus honored his mother as he was dying. As Christians, we give parents special honor as God's representatives on earth, gifts of God through whom he gave us the gift of life. How can I show the honor and cherish my parents as gifts of God and as his representatives on earth? Question 54. Why does this commandment focus on parents and other authorities? A mother and father uniquely serve as God's representatives through whom he bestows and nurtures human life on earth. Other authorities, legal guardians, pastors, teachers, employers, government officials, also serve as God's representatives for the support and protection of our life on earth. The Old Testament reading for Imbokabit is written in the third chapter of Genesis, beginning with verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. But I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then he said to Adam, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. Also for Adam and his wife the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We continue with the gradual. "He will command his angels concerning you
to guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up,
lest you strike your foot against a stone."
Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's second letter to the Christians in Corinth, the sixth chapter, beginning with verse 1. "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in torments, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise from the tract. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High
will abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
He will cover you with his pinions,
and under his wings you will find refuge.
When he calls to me, I will answer him.
I will be with him in trouble.
With long life I will satisfy him,
and show him my salvation.
The Holy Gospel is written in the fourth chapter of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and beheld, angels came and ministered to him. Here endeth the gospel reading. Our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in the one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost and the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and stood on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and Giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy, just and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn. Thank you. Genesis 3 reading and the Matthew 4 reading. The theme is, lead us not into temptation. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
So what does this mean? God tempts no one. And we pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. Dear saints in Christ, Jesus teaches you to pray in the Lord's Prayer that your Heavenly Father would lead you out of temptation. And this is a very important petition. You must not think that temptation is no big deal, or that because you have the forgiveness of sins, that it doesn't really matter whether you fall into temptation. See, temptation leads to false belief, despair, another great shame and vice. It was falling for temptation by your first parents that plunged our human race into sin and death. The Apostle Paul warns you in his letter, first letter to the Corinthians. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. It's so appropriate for you to pray to God for aid against temptation so that you do not fall into a worse condition than you were before you had Jesus. You see, God tempts no one. The tempter himself is Satan. And in the Old Testament, in Gospel readings, you heard how Satan tempted our first parents and won. And how Satan, the same Satan, tempted our Lord Jesus and failed. Jesus then became the perfect high priest, being tempted like us in every way except without sin. Now, these are two very different outcomes from the same old tempter, who has not changed his technique. In both cases, Satan did what he always does. He lied. Did God really say? The serpent asked. He knew full well what God had said. However, you will notice that he doesn't ask if God said what he actually said. He doesn't ask if God really said that they were forbidden to eat of the tree that was in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Instead, he asked whether God barred them from eating from any of the trees. He tricked Eve into engaging with him, but she was unprepared. The lies just kept spewing from the liar's mouth until Eve and her husband forgot the command of the Lord. Likewise, Satan lied to Jesus every step of the way. Nevertheless, Jesus did not consider the devil's lies. He didn't weigh them against sound reason. Rather, he responded with the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, which Paul calls the sword of the Spirit. Of course, Jesus did not need to quote Scripture and say what was written. I mean, Jesus is the incarnate Word Himself, the Son of God. He certainly could have driven Satan off immediately. However, Jesus purposely used a weapon that each of you has at your disposal, in order to teach you how to fight against Satan. In the first temptation, Satan attacks the third commandment, which teaches you to fear and love God so you do not despise preaching and God's word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Again, Satan is so sly. He tells Jesus to prove that he is the Son of God by turning stones into bread. He hasn't eaten in 40 days. Jesus is hungry, and he certainly has the power to turn those stones into bread or even to raise children up for Abraham. Nevertheless, Jesus knows that he does not prove himself to be the Son of God by satisfying his bodily hunger, but by doing the will of his Father who sent him. This teaches you that there is nothing more important than hearing and learning the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This isn't hyperbole. You need to hear God's Word more than you need to eat. In the Lord's Prayer, you are taught to pray 6 petitions that have to do with your spiritual needs. But you're only taught to pray 1 petition that concerns all your needs of the body. Nevertheless, you think your bodily needs are more important. Satan frequently and with much success tempts Christians to consider their jobs, investments, property, and all other stuff more important than hearing, learning, and conforming to the Word of God. It is God's Word that gives you faith in Christ. It is God's Word that gives you the Holy Spirit. It is God's Word that gives you eternal life. Nevertheless, you still seek after bread, bread which perishes. And the second temptation, the liar attacks the second commandment. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. You should fear and love God so that you do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble. Pray praise and give thanks. Satan in this temptation uses the Word of God. However, he misuses it. He perverts it, cutting it up and putting it back together. God indeed promises the protection of angels, but Satan leaves out the phrase, to guard you in all your ways. Satan means for Jesus to put God to the test, which Scripture clearly forbids. Satan uses such a trick on you today. Then he tempted Jesus to throw himself off the pinnacle of the temple. Now he tempts you to thrust yourself into licentious sins. To behave licentiously means to behave unrestricted by the law, as if you have a license to sin. Satan misuses the gospel itself, the greatest word from God, to persuade Christians into unchristian behavior. Scripture teaches you that you are saved by God's grace apart from your works. And because Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, God's grace will never run out. Where sin increases, so grace abounds all the more. And what does the tempter do with this beautiful gospel message? He asks, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Even more, he asserts this. He convinces Christians that their sins cannot harm them, so as long as they have a superficial knowledge of Christ. And he encourages Christians to continue in fornication, adultery, drunkenness, rivalry, slander, hatred, and any sins under the sun, with the false promise of rescue from your sins, even if you do not repent. Cast yourself down into the abyss of sin. Don't hold back. He'll command his angels. Nevertheless, such reckless behavior would put God to the test. Christians fight temptation and repent of their sins daily. Now the tempter's final test attacks the first commandment. You shall have no other gods. This seems like a wild attempt by a desperate fool who would bow down to Satan. but imagine all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. Such a vision would certainly instill awe and wonder in any of you. And how quickly people turn from worshiping God in order to gain even the smallest portion of the world's wealth. You know, you actually behave like addicts. The addict chases a temporary pleasant feeling and keeps running back to it over and over and over again until he is left empty, broken, and ruined relationships, with no job, and utterly unsatisfied. And the addict continues to chase after that drug that ruined his life in the first place. And this is how you behave as you strive after earthly treasures that moth and rust destroy, and thieves break in to steal. It is as Paul Gerhardt wrote in his hymn, "What is all this life possesses? But a handful of sand that the heart distresses." And so you need to learn to turn from the lies of earthly treasures and riches and bow down only to the true God in heaven. You know, Jesus did a good job countering all the devil's attacks. He effectively used the Holy Scriptures to foil the tempter's power. However, as you've no doubt picked up, Jesus is a whole lot better at this than you are. Jesus went 3 for 3. How many times has the devil scored on you since you have woken up this morning? Indeed, it would be a sad and tragic case if Jesus came to earth and strove with Satan simply to show how it's done. Although Christians try to use God's word to resist temptation, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are indeed successful against Satan, you do not always stand victorious. You let your guard down. You fall for his tricks. You behave like soldiers putting down their shields and taking off their armor in the midst of the battle, oblivious to the plethora of arrows zinging all around you. You underestimate the danger of temptation. But remember, Satan is like a snake. If he can fit its head in, he can fit his entire body in as well. If you give the devil an inch, your treacherous heart may betray you and give him a mile. And then the devil enters into the next stage of his attack. And he accuses. Yes, the same miserable being that tricked you into sinning against your God then accuses you of sin, and he tells you that you cannot be saved by grace. You've soiled it. You must make atonement for your sins, or perhaps even despair. However, Jesus did not strive in the wilderness with Satan for his own sake. He didn't simply do it to give you an example to follow. Rather, your Lord, who so successfully used Scripture to battle Satan, fulfilled Scripture itself. A portion of Scripture Satan knew quite well, because it was to him that these words were first spoken. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." You see, Jesus Christ himself is the seed of the woman, born of the Virgin Mary. He has come to bruise the head of Satan and win a total victory. Jesus defeats Satan by his perfect obedience to God the Father. Jesus withstands the temptations of the devil in your place. He is the only human being who has never sinned. And Jesus suffered the price of your sins. That is what God meant when he said that Satan would bruise Christ's heel. Jesus was indeed crucified after Satan enticed Judas to betray him, and the chief priest cried out for his blood. Nevertheless, Jesus' wound was only temporary. After making full atonement for all sins, he was raised from the dead and Jesus' wounds were healed. He is victorious over Satan. However, Satan's wounds will never heal because he has been judged. Jesus said, "Begone, Satan," and Satan departed. You too have the authority to say those powerful words. After Adam and Eve failed to cover up their sins with fig leaves and got expelled from the Garden of Eden, God clothed them with the skin of an animal. You must slaughter an animal to take its skin. This foreshadowed the work of Christ and what he would do for you. Jesus offered himself up as a blameless sacrifice in order to clothe you with his righteousness. Scripture says, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Dear saints in Christ, through faith in Christ Jesus, you share in Christ's victory. The evil foe, who has no equal on this earth, is no match for you. Christ Jesus has given you a little word that can fell him. You are baptized into Christ, the victor. Christ Jesus has washed away your sins. You are forgiven. And Satan cannot harm you. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, you promised to overcome the devil by the seed of the woman, your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Strengthen our faith in his victory, that we may endure every temptation and at last share in his eternal salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, your Son trampled the serpent underfoot and freed us from sin and death and by his own death on the cross. Protect and preserve all called to preach Christ and him crucified. Command your angels to guard them in all their ways and to bear them up for the sake of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, our first parents fell into sin, rebelled against you, and despised one another. Inspire the families of your church to live in sacrificial love towards one another and in faith toward you, that they may receive your temporal and eternal benediction. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, remember our nation and all its leaders and public servants. Watch over and comfort those who serve, especially Gordon, Brandon, John, Rebecca, Donovan, and Emily. Guide them into ways pleasing to you. Bless also the people of our country, that they would delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, since we sojourn in the wilderness of this earth, look upon our desire for peace, and that by your mighty power defend us and our nation against all our enemies. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, though we deserve nothing of your kindness, you have shown yourself to be the strength of the weak and the healer of the sick and the hope of those who mourn. Hear us on behalf of those who are troubled in mind or body, the dying and those who grieve, especially Pat, Robin, Carol, Arlen, Janie, Nathan, Richard, Steve, Kathy, Jerry, Ruth, Roger, Helen, Deanna, Carlene, Brianna, Alicia, Tammy, Robin, Deb, Mary, Wally, Shirley, Billy, and the Leslie family. Sustain them through their afflictions and pain. Heal them according to your gracious will and deliver them at the last to everlasting life in Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Owen, Tammy, Wally, and Shirley, continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, though we are unworthy of a place at the table of our Lord, you have bid us to come and eat his flesh and blood. Give us faith that we may come in repentance and receive this blessed food for everlasting life. Unite us in doctrine and holy living, that we may show forth this harmony and witness before the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, see how the adversary continually afflicts us and walks about as a roaring lion seeking to devour us. We implore you, for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, to help us by the grace of the Holy Spirit and strengthen our hearts by your word, that our enemy would not prevail over us, instead that we may abide evermore in your grace and be preserved to life everlasting. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
To continue with our next hymn, 307.
Thank you.
with you. In sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. This is the true body of Christ, given into death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given into death for your sin. Take, eat. The true body of Christ. True blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
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 Christ, given to death for your sin. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep you that just one place. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep you that just one place. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep you that just one place.
Thank you.
Lord Christ.
Thank you.
for he is good. God, the Father, the fount and source of all goodness, with loving kindness didst send thine only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank thee that for thy sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in the sacrament, and we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Lord, lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.